الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Beloved Muslims, it gives me a great pleasure to talk about the Quran. It is really a joy to talk about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a joy to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a joy to teach the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's really a joy living with the Quran all the time. Because Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it, is a ruh, the spirit. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to the greatness of this book by mentioning that it is a ruh. Don't you see the difference between the dead and the living person? What is the difference? The difference is this ruh. And likewise, the Quran is a life-giving message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is everything for us. It is everything for us. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described those people who have deprived themselves from the guidance of the Quran as being dead, mute, deaf, and in some words, animals, rather worse than animals. Why they are worse than animals? Because the animals serve the purpose for which they were created. And those humans who deprive themselves from the benefit of the Quran and do not open their hearts or minds to the Quran, they are not serving the purpose for which they were created. So it is everything for us. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything for us. It's our honor, it is our dignity, it is our life, without which there is no existence for the ummah or our souls. And I always, when I remember this meaning, I remember the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the people of the book, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَسْتُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ حَتَّى تُقِيمُ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. O people of book, you are not on a valid ground. You are not upon anything unless you uphold the Torah and the Injil and whatever was revealed to you from your Lord. So this is also applicable to our ummah, that we are upon nothing if we don't really uphold the Quran and whatever was revealed upon us through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. However, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a great right upon us, and we have as Muslims to maintain special relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indicated to this special relationship when he said in the hadith which is recorded by Imam Muslim, الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن يا رسول الله قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. That الدين نصيحة. Now the whole deen is النصيحة. What is النصيحة? It is the sincerity and having a sincere relationship with Allah and His Book. And this can only be established and maintained by us learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being able to pronounce the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, and keeping within the limits that were prescribed in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and defend the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against any attempt to tamper with it or distort its meaning. So this is part of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon us. Really, cannot imagine that relationship between, that must exist between you and the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unless you see that relationship in the life of the Salaf, our righteous predecessors. And there is a very, very beautiful story that is in Sahih Muslim about a visit that Abu Bakr and Umar paid to Ayman. عن أنس قال قال أبو بكر لعمر بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انطلق بنا إلى أم أيمن رضي الله عنها كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزورها فلما انتهيا إليها بكت فقال لها ما يبكيك أما تعلمين أن ما عند الله خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت رضي الله عنها أما إني لا أبكي أني لا أعلم أن ما عند الله خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكني أبكي أن الوحي قد انقطع فهججتهما على البكاء فبكيا فجعلا يبكيان معها. أبو بكر and عمر. أبو بكر told عمر, let's go visit Ayman as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit her. And this was immediately after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they came and visited Ayman, she started crying. And they told her, why are you crying? Don't you know that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better for him? In other words, it's better than the life of this world. And she said, I am not crying because I don't know that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with him is better for him than the life of this world. Rather, I'm crying because of the cessation of revelation. Because of the cessation of revelation. It is something very, very, very special. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have the highest level of that specialty because they have witnessed the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing his book by is the description of guidance. So this is the first, and this is the most obvious quality of the Quran, that it is a guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see that in Surah Al-Baqarah, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى. In it there is a guidance for al-muttaqeen. And for us, the guidance is the most important thing. There is nothing that is more important to us than guidance. Rather, it is more important to us than eating, drinking, and I say breathing. The guidance that this book has provided us with is more important to us than eating, drinking, and even breathing. Why? Because what is the most that happened for the person who does not eat and does not drink and does not breathe? It is to die. And if the person dies while he is guided, he has exited from this life to the eternal happiness. To the eternal happiness. So what is the big deal about it? But the person who dies
without guidance, he is subjecting himself to the eternal punishment. نعوذ بالله عز وجل من ذلك. So we find many ayat telling us that this book's main goal is to guide the people, and this is a sign of the signs of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. There has come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a light and a clear book with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those who follow His pleasure to the ways of peace and takes them from the depth of darkness to the light by His permission and guides them to the straight path. We have an urgent need as human beings to be guided to the straight path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran as a guidance for mankind and self-evident proofs of guidance and a criterion by which we can differentiate between right and wrong, between what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. Indeed, this Quran guides to that which is best and gives good tidings for the believers who work righteous, that they will have an abundant reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a book of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed to us so that we'll see our way, we'll not remain blind, rather we see our way, the way to Jannah, the way to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this book is a perfect book, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. This book is indeed an honorable book, a well-fortified book, a book that is free from all imperfections. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه. Batil, which is falsehood, does not come to it from before it or behind it. So, which means that batil has no way to it at all. So it is free from all types of falsehood. Why? Because it is tanzeelun min hakeemin hameed. It is revelation from hakeem, one who is full of wisdom, hameed, the one who is worthy of praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, giving us one more of the qualities and the merits of this book, the Quran. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O mankind, there has come unto you a maw'idha, an admonition from your Lord. This book is an admonition. It is a reminder that remind us of the consequences of our actions, that remind us of the hellfire, remind us of paradise, remind us of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers, remind us of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the disbelievers, tells us about the stories of those people who obeyed the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who disobeyed the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what happened to those people who obeyed and disobeyed, and what is going to be the destiny of both parties, One is going to go to the hellfire and the other is going to go to paradise. So it is a reminder of our the consequences of our anxious actions, and also remind us of our destiny, that if you work righteous you go to paradise, if you don't you go to the hellfire. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and a cure to that which is in the chest. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this book to cure us, to heal the diseases of our hearts, the diseases of doubt, suspicion, or desires, or lust. This Quran is a cure for all these diseases. And you have to know one thing, that you see, all the happiness lies in here. All the happiness lies in here. So if you have a problem in here, then you will not be able to experience any pleasure or enjoy your life in any way. So this Quran came to you to heal your heart and to make you live a good life in this dunya and in the hereafter. Make you fill your heart with tranquility, with security, make you relax, have peace of mind. And you know that we are supposed to be very aware of what despair can do, because we live in a society among the disbelievers, and we know that these diseases of heart are the ones which is leading the people to commit suicide. You see people who are rich, you people who are powerful, and the second thing you hear about them that they are committing suicide. Does this mean that they are happy? Your happiness is here, and everybody here is craving for this happiness and craving for what the Quran provides us, and that is the shifa, the healing for our heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, there has come to you an admonition from your Lord, وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and a cure for that which is in the heart, and وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and a guidance and a mercy for the believers. And there are other ayats also which prove that the Quran is a cure. It is a cure for our spiritual diseases, and it is also a cure for our physical diseases. For all, with all due respect to the doctors who are attending, if there are some doctors here, but it's also a cure for our physical diseases. And we know from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that some of the companions has used Surah Al-Fatiha as a cure, and it cured the chief of that tribe who was poisoned. So it is a cure. But whenever we try this cure and does not work, we need to question the person who is using it, because you see, it is like the weapon in the hand of somebody who does not know how to use it. Like if you have a very sophisticated tank and somebody told you, here is a very good weapon, go ahead and use it. So if you don't know how to use it, that make it useless. So it's most important thing that the person who is using this weapon or this medicine or this cure is a person whose heart is clear and who can use this cure effectively, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the Quran, showing us it is its effect, that لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله, that had we sent down the Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen it tremble and split asunder for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder over this example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran. Contemplate over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that
because of the great admonitions that are in the Quran and the great reminders, that had this Quran was revealed or sent down on a mountain, it will make its place ascended in spite of the hardness of that mountain. So it's more obvious when it comes to the human being, he should be affected. But whenever you hear the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are not affected, you need to question yourself and question your heart. You see, the Sahaba heard the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is Umar ibn Humam in Ghazwat Badr, in the battle of Badr. He heard one ayah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a reminder, قُومُوا إِلَىٰ جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ, march forth for a paradise, the vastness of which, or as vast as the heavens and the earth. And upon hearing this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he threw the dates that he was eating and he fought till he was killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jubair ibn Mut'am, he was captive before becoming Muslim. He was captive in Medina. And he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting in Salatul Isha, At-Tur. And he said, when I heard Surah At-Tur, my heart was about to split asunder, and he became a Muslim. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So if you really open your heart and open your mind and allow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to work, it is most effective, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah, that the Quran has reached the highest level of eloquency, that if it is to be an effectiveness, that if it is to be sent down to a mountain, you would have seen it tremble because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because of the understanding of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His words. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, showing us the effect of this book, He said that وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى, يعني لكان هذا القرآن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now have you seen a book by which you can move mountains? Have you seen a book by which you can split the earth asunder? Have you seen a book by which you can talk to the dead people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that had there been any book of this quality, it would have been the Quran. This is the meaning of this ayah. وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ, had there been a book by which the mountains are moved, أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ, or the earth was split asunder, أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى, or the dead people addressed by this book, it would have been the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of its great effect and because of how it softened the hearts of the believers and of those people who have taqwa and who have iman and who want to benefit from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, there is very important aspect for the Quran, and that is its miraculous nature. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. If all the jinn and the ins were to gather together and try to produce the like of the Quran, they will not be able to do that even if they help each other. Why? Because this is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن نَبِيٍ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ إِلَّا أُوْتِيَ مَا عَلَى مِثْلِهِ آمَنَ النَّاسِ وَكَانَ الَّذِي أُوْتِيْتُهُ وَحْيًا فَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا. That every prophet was supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a miracle which
would show that he is a truthful messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in him. And the miracle with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has supported me is the Quran. So I hope that I will be among the most the ones who has the most followers, which means, which shows the great quality of the miracle that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was the best miracle that was ever given to any prophet, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said that I hope that I am going to be the one who has the most followers, because the Quran as a miracle is still exists till our time. You know, the miracles with which the other prophets were supported, the people, the prophets and the people who were there, they witnessed that miracle. Then that's it. And had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not mentioned to us in the Quran, we would not have known about it. But the miracle of the Quran is still existing about till our time. The Quran is there, protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preserved. And nobody since the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam till now has tampered with it, because Allah is the one who has pledged to protect it and preserve it, as he said, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, telling us about another merit of this book, that abshiru fa inna al-Qur'an tarafuhu bi aydikum وطرفه بيد الله وطرفه بأيديكم فتمسكوا به. That the Quran, you see, the one side of the Quran is in the hand of Allah and the other side is in your hand. This is something great. This is something great. This is something great, that we have the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us, and that we can read these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pure and change, as was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moreover, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith that al-Qur'an shafi'un mushaffa' wa mahilun musaddaq man ja'alahu amamahu qadahu ila al-jannah wa man ja'alahu khalfahu saqahu ila al-nar. That the Quran is an intercessor. That is when, on the day of resurrection. And the day of resurrection is the longest day. It is a day that lasts 50,000 years. In that day, the people sweat. The sun will be brought closer to the people, and people will start sweating. Some people sweat will reach to their ankles. Some people sweat will reach to their knees. Some people sweat will reach to their waist, and some people will be overwhelmed by their sweat. And that day, everybody will be caring about his own well-being. No father will really care about his son. No mother will care about her daughter. Rather, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, that the kafir will be ready to give, you see, the whole earth, you see, and whatever contained, as a ransom for his own salvation. And that day, the Quran comes as an intercessor to benefit the reader, its reader, to benefit the one who spent his night reading the Quran and learning the Quran and trying to understand the meaning of the Quran, which represents the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which tell us what to do and what to do, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes us to do and what he does not like us to do. So al-Quran shafi'un mushaffa' wa mahilun musaddaq. Mahil is the one who argue and who defend on your behalf like an attorney. So on the day of judgment, this Quran will come to argue about on your behalf and to intercede for you to be among the dwellers of the paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من جعله أمامه قاده إلى الجنة ومن جعله خلفه قاده إلى النار. Whoever put the Quran in front of him, it will lead him to paradise, and whoever put the Quran behind him, it will lead him to the hellfire. This hadith is also confirmed by the other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he commands us to read the Quran by saying, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Read the Quran, for it will come on the day of resurrection as intercessor for its people. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إنكم لا ترجعون إلى الله تبارك وتعالى بشيء أفضل مما خرج منه. You never come back to Allah with something that is better than that which started from Allah, and that is the Quran. You will never come back to Allah with a righteous deed better than the knowledge about the Quran, the understanding of the Quran, learning, reciting, teaching the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much reward you get for reading the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that by every letter you read, you'll get 10 rewards. And he said, I'm not saying alif lam mim is one letter, rather alif letter and lam letter and mim letter, which means if you say alif lam mim, you will get at least 30 rewards, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiply out of His grace and mercy to whomever He wants according to the sincerity and the humbleness of the person who is reading the Quran and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is illustrating for us, giving us a practical example to encourage us to read the Quran. He said, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيَ أَنْ يَجِدَ ثَلَاثَ خَلِفَاتٍ عِظَامٍ سِمَانٍ فثلاث آيات يقرأ بهن أحدكم في صلاته خير من ثلاث خليفات سمان عظام. That does one of you like to come back home and find three huge, great, pregnant she camels? Do you like to come back home and find this great wealth with from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of course, Rasulullah is using the language that the people understand, because the people of Arabia used to live in the desert, used to live close to the camel, and the camels used to be the most important thing and the richest thing that can the person own. So the most expensive thing that the person can own. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them that, don't you like to go back home and find three very expensive type of camel at home? They say, yes, of course. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, three ayahs that you recite in your prayer is better than the three most expensive type of camels. Of course, we have to translate this in our time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that whenever you read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better for you than whatever wealth that you may accumulate at from the collectibles of the life of this world. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, giving good news for both the people who read the Quran fluently and the people who struggle while they are reading the Quran. So if you read the Quran and you know how to read it, then you have a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who struggle when he reads the Quran, as many of us do, then this person also, he has a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الماهر بالقرآن مع الكرام السفرة مع الأبرار الكرام السفرة. والذي يقرأ القرآن ويتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. That the person who reads the Quran and he is fluent in reading the Quran,
he is going to be with the angels. And the person who reads the Quran and struggle in reading the Quran, it's difficult for him to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have double the reward. One reward for his reading of the book of Allah, and the second reward is for that difficulty that he is facing in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be despaired when you try to read the book of Allah and it is hard for you to read the book of Allah. Remember that you are reading the word of Allah, and this should in itself instill a joy and pleasure in your heart. So, and also by remembering that you will have a special reward for the difficulty that you are facing, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us read the Quran in the proper way. Also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, telling us about the merit of learning and teaching the Quran, that خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best amongst you is who he learns the Quran and teach the Quran. Don't we like to be among the best? Or just we strive very hard to be among the best in the life, or according to the standard of the life of this world?